Well, it's good to see you. I'm glad you're here. It's been a little while since I've had chapel personally, and I'm glad for the opportunity. But we've had some great chapel speakers, haven't we? I'm really thankful for the people that have been here. They've done a great job. I'm sure you've enjoyed them too. I think it's really important for us to hear people who are not right here all the time. It's good for us. It's good for them too. But a little earlier this year, when I was leading chapel services, we were talking, if you remember, about the gospel of Jesus Christ and a way to share the gospel called Evangelism Explosion. But we're basically looking at what the Bible teaches about salvation, just the basic stuff. And we've seen that contrary to what a lot of people believe, the Bible teaches that heaven is a free gift. Eternal life is a gift. It's a gift of God's grace. It's not something we can earn or deserve. The gift of God is eternal life. It's in Romans. Or by grace are you saved. By grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's a gift. And we can understand why it has to be that way when we understand what the Bible says about us. The Bible says we're all sinners and we can't save ourselves. None of us can. Good works just won't get it done. So the Bible says in Romans, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's all of us. And in James, it says, if we keep the whole law, but offend even in one point, we're guilty of all. But we learned also that in spite of our sin, God loves us. It's amazing. He's merciful. He's loving. He really doesn't want to punish us. And he said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. It's incredible that he would love us anyway. But he does. There's a wonderful verse over in 1 John that simply says, God is love. Incredible characteristic of God. He loves us. But the Bible also teaches, as we saw, that while he's certainly a God of love, you don't ever want to forget that, he is also a God of perfect justice. And he must punish sin. If he didn't punish sin, he wouldn't be a just God. And we really wouldn't like him very much if he just said, no big deal, sin all you want to. Hurt all the people you want to. It's no big deal with me. No, we want a just God. And he says he will by no means let the guilty go unpunished. And like I said, even in this world, when people do bad things, we want to judge, don't we? We want to judge to say, that's wrong. You cannot do that. Talked about that last time. But it seems like a dilemma for God in a way and for us. On the one hand, he loves us. And he really doesn't want to punish us. On the other hand, he hates our sin. And we're all sinners. So in order to be a just God and administer the wages of sin, which the Bible says is death and destruction, seemed like a dilemma, but God really had the solution all along. He knew all along what he was going to do. And the solution is Jesus. So sometimes when I'm talking with somebody new about this that I've never talked with before, I'll say, hey, I'm kind of curious what you think about Jesus. Let's suppose that somebody were to come to you and you'd never seen him before, and they say, hey, I'm kind of new here, and I'm from another country, and we don't talk much about Jesus, but I'm hearing you guys talk some about Jesus, and I don't know anything about him. Who is this Jesus? Can you tell me something about Jesus? Who is he? What would you say? What would some of you say? Just quick answer. Who is Jesus? The Son of God, the Savior? Yeah, those are good answers. What? God in human form? Good answers, guys. Really good answers. You know what? The most common answer I hear really is a good answer when I ask people that. Even non-Christians will often say this. And it's what I heard, I think it was Gibson, somebody said, Son of God. Is that what you said? Yeah, Son of God. He is the Son of God. And sometimes I'll say to them, that's a really good answer. He is the Son of God. You're right. Let me ask you something else. There's a sense in which I'm a Son of God too. Is there any difference between Jesus and me? Well, yeah. Yeah, big difference. Everybody knows that. And so I will maybe say something like, you know, when I was conceived in my mother's womb, that's when I started to be. That's when I started to exist. There wasn't a Steve Hall before that. So that's the way it was with Jesus. When Jesus was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit in Mary's womb, he didn't just start to exist then. He existed from eternity past. He's God. God the Son who became one of us. And so it's really, really important to understand who he is. Sometimes we call him the infinite God-man. He's fully God, the Bible teaches, and he's fully man. Our brains can't fully wrap around that, but we know that's what the Bible teaches, and it's true. It's really, really important, though, that we don't miss this. There are people today who will say, well, I think Jesus was the greatest man that ever lived, and I think he was a great teacher, and I think he was a great prophet. I just can't buy this stuff about him being God. You'll hear that a lot today from people who consider themselves educated and sophisticated people. If you ever get a chance to take Veritas, we'll talk some about that. But that's an irrational position to take about Jesus. We don't have time to go into that right now. But the Bible teaches he was fully man, but that he's fully God. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and what? The Word was God, and the Word became flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. There's a verse over in Colossians that says, in him, it's in Jesus, dwells the fullness of the Godhead. Not just partly, not a little bit, the fullness, fully God. He's fully God. You may remember when Jesus rose from the dead. And by the way, what are we celebrating this Sunday?
Easter.
You know what Vicki and I, my wife and I, often call Easter? We rarely call it Easter. You know what we call it? Resurrection Sunday. Yeah, we talk about Resurrection Sunday because that's what we celebrate, right? Jesus didn't stay in the tomb. And by the way, God left all kinds of evidence. If you ever run into anybody that doubts that and thinks, I just can't believe men rise from the dead, God's given us all kinds of evidence. That's something else we talk about in Veritas. I'd love for you to take that someday and check it out. But you remember when he appeared the first time to some of his disciples, they were behind locked doors. You remember that? And he appeared to them, and they realized he was alive. But one of his disciples wasn't there. You remember which one? You may remember? It was Thomas. He wasn't there. And later on, the disciples said, Thomas, we've seen Jesus. He's alive. You know what Thomas said? He said, I don't believe it. He said, I just don't think that could happen. He said, unless I see the prints in his hands and see that scar in his side where the spear was driven, he said, I'm not going to believe. Well, guess what? The next time Jesus appeared to them, Thomas was there. You remember that? Yeah. And you know what Thomas did? He believed, didn't he? And he said these words. He said, my Lord and my God. He realized only God could conquer death like this. He realized who Jesus was. My Lord and my God. So we need to know who he is. And we got to understand why he came. He came to do one thing. I mean, he did a lot of wonderful things. He taught a lot of wonderful things. He worked miracles. Great prophet. But the main reason he came was to die. And he died on the cross to pay for our sins, purchasing us eternal life, which he offers to us as a free gift. No human being could do that. No mere man could die for our sins, because we're all sinners. Everybody else is a sinner too. Nobody can die for our sins because we've all got our own sins to die for. But Jesus could. He's God. Only God could do that. God the Son came in our place, died for our sins, totally sinless. Totally sinless. Never sinned himself at all. Perfect. And yet he died for us. That's why Jesus came. Not just to be a great teacher. Not just to be a great prophet. Not just to be a miracle worker. He did those things. He came to die. Look at 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also has once suffered for sins on the cross. The just, he's the just. For the unjust, we're the unjust. That he might what? Bring us to God. I think my favorite illustration in the entire evangelism explosion presentation is one I call the record book of sins. And I'm going to share it with you right now, and you might want to try to pay attention to it so you can share it with others. I love it because it brings a lot of the aspects of the gospel into the presentation. Let's suppose this hand represents me, and this hand over here represents God. Okay? So here I am. This is a Dave Ramsey book. But let's pretend instead of a Dave Ramsey book, it's a book of my sin. My life is all written in here, all my sin. All the stuff that I've ever done, the lies I've told, the times I've lost my temper, the times I should have done something that I didn't do, the times I've been selfish and self-centered, all my sin. I tell you, if it was my life, it would be more like an unabridged dictionary or something. You know, we're talking about a lot of sin, guys. And I'm carrying that around like a heavy load. It's weighing down on me. It's like pressure. I'm guilty. I know I'm guilty. It's my problem. I can't have fellowship with God because of my sin. God loves me, but he hates that sin. And God had the solution. God became a man. Our Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son. And when he did, he lived a perfect life. He didn't have a load like this to carry around. He was perfectly innocent. He didn't do anything wrong. Perfect life. And then he went to the cross. And the Bible says what happened on the cross was he took my sin. There's a prophecy of this in Isaiah. You see it on the screen there. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. Every one of us have. We've gone every one his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He took my sin on himself. He didn't have any of his own. He took mine, and he took the wrath of God, poured out against my sin when he died on the cross. And then what happens? Well, he separates my sin from as far as the east is from the west. It's gone. And what did he do? He didn't stay in the tomb, did he? No, that's what we're doing Sunday. We're celebrating. He came out of the tomb. He rose from the grave. My sin's gone. And I can have fellowship with him now because of what he did for me there on the cross. I think it's an awesome illustration of what Jesus came to do and what he did for us there on the cross. You may remember one of the last things he said when he was on the cross was, "It is finished." Do you remember that? He said, "It is finished." The Greek word is tetelestai. See it on the third line up there? Tetelestai. It was a word that was used in that day to indicate that a debt had been paid. When somebody owed a debt, they would keep a record of it, a statement of debt. And then when the debt was paid in full, the creditor would take that debt and write the word tetelestai across the bottom. Simply meant paid in full. And that's what Jesus did for us. He said, "I've taken your sin and I've paid for it in full." Someone said that grace is like an acronym where every letter stands for a word. It's God's riches, but it's at Christ's expense. We get the riches of God. We get eternal salvation. We get to be in heaven forever. We get to be God's kids. We get to be part of God's family. We get to have his peace. We get to have his strength, his grace, his mercy to get us through this life, take us on into eternity. But Jesus had to pay for it. He did. He paid for it on the cross. Now, it might seem that if heaven really is a free gift and Jesus died to pay for our sins, that maybe everybody gets to go to heaven automatically. But the Bible teaches that's not true. There's something that we have to have. And God gives it to us, and it's something called faith. And there's a lot of confusion about faith, and we don't have time to go into it right now. So in a separate chapel service, I'm going to talk a little bit about what faith really is and what it isn't. I want to make sure we understand it. Meantime, listen, guys, if at any point in time you want to talk about this stuff, I'm not the only one here that would love to talk with you about it. Please talk with us. If there's something going on in your mind, some problem, some question, let's talk about it. Now, before we go, I'm going to be real quick here, but I just want to say this. I thought we had an awesome question and answer session last week, I guess it was, with Gibson's dad. And I've talked with Miss Melissa about this. Pray about this, because we'd like to have more of that. Because that was good stuff. I mean, it's good for us to ask tough questions. When I was a teacher at Tellico Plains High School, this was many years ago, we had a club that met on Friday morning, and we called it Ask Anything Friday. We met before school. And I told the kids, "Hey, bring your questions. You can bring them during the week if you want to, or you can bring them on Friday morning." I said, "The only thing I'm going to tell you is this. You can ask anything you want to ask. It might be something from the Bible. It might be something you heard a Sunday school teacher or a pastor say. It might be something you heard a non-Christian say. Maybe something you heard on TV or saw on social media or something. But you got a question." I said, "It's all right. It might be about Christian ethics or Christian morals. Nothing's off limits. But I reserve the right to say, that's a really great question. I need some time to think about it. We'll talk about it next week." And I'm going to say the same to you. Now, I'm not the only one here who can answer questions. We got lots of teachers and students even who can answer questions. But I'd love for us to have more of that kind of thing from time to time. So you pray about that. Let me ask you one more thing. I really appreciate Lane praying before the meeting this morning or this afternoon. How many of you would be willing to pray like he did if somebody called on you? Would you raise your hand? If somebody called, would you be willing to pray? Okay, that's a bunch of you. So maybe from time to time we're going to call on some of you to pray. Okay? All right, I appreciate that. Melissa, do you need to say anything else before I pray? Okay, everybody good? Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to get together in the name of Jesus and to fellowship and to study and think about your word and your truth and the gospel. And Lord, we are amazed at your plan. You're an awesome God. You're perfect in your power and you're perfect in your wisdom. You're perfect in your love. You're an awesome God. And Lord, there's a lot about you we don't understand. And there's a lot about the world that we don't understand. But Father, we thank you that you have revealed enough to us that we can know that you love us, and that we can know you loved us enough that you died for us, that our Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, came and died on the cross to pay for our sins, so that by trusting Jesus, we could have a relationship with you that will last forever. You will forgive us, and you'll give us eternal life, and you'll make us your kids. What an awesome thing you've done, Father. What an awesome gift. Father, there may be some people in this room who've never yet trusted Christ, and I pray if that's true, they would talk to me or maybe one of the other teachers or maybe even one of the other students, somebody that can help them think these things through and make a good decision. Lord, I thank you for Amanda and the great worship we had. That's a beautiful song. Thank you for that song. I thank you for Lane being willing to pray and all these kids that raised their hands said they'd be willing to pray. I thank you for the way you're using Melissa to lead us. I thank you for Alice. Pray especially for the True Love Waits meeting. I pray that will go really, really well. There'll be a lot of growth going on, a lot of commitment going on, a lot of good decisions being made. Father, you're just an awesome God. So thank you for loving us. Help us to love you well. Help us to understand the gospel well enough that we can share it with others when you give us opportunity. And help us to help others come to the kingdom. We know ultimately we can't do it, Lord. It has to be your Holy Spirit. But we pray you'd work in our midst and get glory for yourself. Help us the rest of the day to make good decisions and to glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Thanks for being here. Have a great day. Thank you. Praise Him.